Thanks, the organizers, for giving me this chance, nice chance to present our recent work. I'm Jihoon from South Korea, UNIST, and we are currently working on particle acceleration at galaxy cluster shocks. In this talk, I'm gonna present our recent work about the electron pre-acceleration in big intra-cluster shocks. So, shocks in intra-cluster medium have been observed via X-ray and radio observations, especially radio observations. Radio emission has been interpreted as synchrotron emission due to acceleration of relativistic electrons. So, for instance, there are several examples. One is sausage shape, Mea-Pasek scale relic, and the other one is toothbrush shape. Those kind of relics are well known observed radio relics. And those kind of signal is from the related to electron acceleration via diffusion shell acceleration. So in order to understand the origin and nature of radio relics, well, we have to understand electron acceleration in galaxy cluster shocks. So, and the expected mechanism is so-called the DSA, which is stage particles can be energized by multiple scattering via plasma waves in upstream and downstream. And in order to participate in the DSA, the momentum should be greater than a few times of post-shock thermal protons momentum. But in case of an electron, as you can see in this momentum spectra, their momentum is very smaller than this momentum of a thermal proton. So in order to participate DSA in case of electron, they should be pre-accelerated. That's why we have to understand the electron pre-acceleration process. So there's one representative studies cover the key mechanism of electron pre-acceleration in weak ICM shocks for one representative Mach number case. And let me explain this electron trajectory with the driven waves. First, the electrons go to the shock and they are reflected at the shock ramp and accelerated by motion electric field, so-called shock drift acceleration, SDA. And they are reflected and go back to the upstream along the magnetic field. So they generate the temperature anisotropy. And because of that temperature anisotropy, the oblique electron fire hose is induced. And those kind of waves play important role to scatter electrons, go back to the shock, and electron can undergo the second round of SDA. So electrons can be accelerated via multiple SDA cycles. So those kind of process may possible to accelerate electrons to inject into diffusive shock acceleration. That's what their main argument. But so our study is basically the extension of the Guo et al. And we extend the Mach number range to cover the larger shocks found in the outskirts of the galaxy clusters. And the plasma beta is, of course, the tune as the ICM shocks, and mass ratio is 100. And we test mass ratio 400 give essentially the same result. And of course, we focus on the quasi-perpendicular geometry. So we think that our key result is related to the shock criticality issue. So those kind of shocks shows Mach 2, Mach 2.3, and Mach 3. This shows the ion-based space diagram, and this one is, this lower panel shows the ion reflection fraction. So first of all, in case of Mach 3 shocks, a substantial fraction of ions are reflected and go back to the upstream, and they gyrate and go, they are advected to the downstream, those kind of things. In case of Mach 2 shock, on the other hand, this reflection process is less efficient. So if we calculate the number fraction of reflected particles, the reflection fraction is decreased abruptly around 2.2 to 2.3. So we defined Mach 2.3 as a critical Mach number. And this kind of reflecting ion is related to the supercritical shocks and subcritical shocks. We follow the time evolution of ion number density structure. And in case of supercritical shocks, they are clearly seen in the overshoot and undershoot oscillations. So ions are effectively reflected. And in case of subcritical shocks, on the other hand, just have smooth structures. So the important thing is that the magnetic field structures follow the ion number densities. So again, in case of supercritical shock case, there are strong magnetic middle force to reflect electrons efficiently. On the other hand, in case of subcritical shocks, just a smooth structure, and due to the weak magnetic middle force, electron reflection and electron free acceleration may inefficient. So those kind of issue can be identified by the waves in upstream, since electron reflection is related to the upstream wave generation. So in case of subcritical shocks, there are no upstream waves. On the other hand, in supercritical shocks, due to the strong magnetic middle force, clearly seen there is oblique fire hose mode. And energy spectra also follow that this wave issue. For instance, the Mach 2 shocks, they are only first SDA to separate the Maxwellian from this small acceleration, then the spectra is saturated. This color shows the time step. But in case of supercritical shocks, there are first SDA cycles, and they are interacting with these waves to scatter go back to the shock ramp. So clearly seen, they develop the supraplasma tail. Okay, so here our main result is consistent with Guo et al. But what we can see is that we additionally perform a longer simulation, and we found that the energy spectra is saturated according to these two time steps. We observe the saturated energy spectrum. So our argument is the saturated energy spectra is related to intrinsic properties of electron fire hose. Since we follow the time evolution of magnetic energy in the upstream, and we see the time evolution of magnetic energy is quasi-periodically oscillating and evolving. So we calculate magnetic power spectra to identify the wave nature in upstream. So we found initially the wave is growing and inverse cascade and the rapid damping. That's what we found. Those kind of things that the EFI alone may not produce longer wavelengths to generate high energy electron. This kind of nature also can be found in 2D peak simulation for space plasma. In this reference, they also found that EFI initially grow an inverse cascade and rapidly damping. So EFI alone may not produce longer wavelengths mode. In order to understand this nature of electron fire hose, we perform linear stability analysis to set their core electron and the beam electron. Since in the shock upstream, there are substantial fraction of reflected electrons, so this core and beam distribution is reasonable to explain the shock upstream. Of course, the parameter of background plasma is tuned as ICM plasma, and we assume the number fraction of reflected ion, the beam electron from our shock simulation. So Here is our main result in linear growth stage. So the upper panels shows the growth rate obtained from linear analysis, and the lower panels are magnetic power obtained by corresponding 2D peak simulations. And these are the different beam speed. So for all of these panels shows that in the linear stage, electron fireholes driven by the reflected electrons may generate a highly oblique mode. And additionally, we follow the time evolution of driven waves via peak simulations, and we observe the non-propagating mode. That is one of key features in electron fireholes. And we follow the long-term evolution of magnetic power as a function of K, wave number, and the propagating angle. And we clearly see that initially wave is excited and in the somehow the inverse cascade, and they do not produce any lower K wave, but they are just damped. So this argument is consistent with our shock simulation result. So in order to understand electron injection process, we may consider the effect of shock surface rippling. In case of Guo et al. And our shock simulation case, due to the small transverse box size, we cannot capture the ion scale shock surface rippling. But in case of this study, Trotta versus 2019, for instance, they perform 2D and 3D hybrid simulations to generate shock structure with shock surface rippling. And they assign test particle electrons in the solar wind environment. And their main argument is that in the subcritical shocks, there is no ion scale fluctuations. On the other hand, in supercritical shocks, they clearly see the ion scale fluctuations. So electrons may interact in the ion scale fluctuation state. And electrons can be accelerated efficiently. On the other hand, in subcritical shocks, there are no such clear ion scale fluctuations, so the acceleration is inefficient. And there are another recent study in Polish group. So they tried to simulate the galaxy cluster shocks, although the plasma beta is relatively small. They mainly found, of course, the oblique electron fireholes. And since the ions are reflected and they are advected back to the downstream, so they generate ion temperature anisotropy. So there are alpha ion cyclotron and mirror instabilities produce the shock surface rippling. Of course, Whistler mode is also induced in this first and second overshoot. So those kind of surface rippling in this surface rippling and this first and second overshoot structure, electrons, you can see these electron trajectories. Electrons are interacting those kind of rippling, the multi-scale turbulence. And they are scattered, pitch angle scattering of the magnetic turbulence and accelerated via SDA, and they may reach this injection energy. So my point is that this kind of shock surface rippling may be a key idea to solve the electron injection issue. This is one of suggestion. So to summarize my talk, we want to understand the origin of radio relics. That's why we study electron pre-acceleration process via 2D peak simulations. So we found the critical Mach number, and below the critical Mach number, electron pre-acceleration process is inefficient. And we found that the pre-acceleration due to EFI may not be sufficient since due to the lack of longer wavelength mode. And there is one suggestion that shock surface rippling may be important to understand electron injection. Okay, thank you for your attention.
If you're seeing Whistler turbulence, in this case, the effect which would be present in 3D but not 2D will be the super diffusion. It will be not the Richardson dispersion, but a different law, but it will be still the super diffusive behavior, but it's present in 3D. And actually, it's also answer to Damiana, who were claiming that he does not see super diffusion in his 2D simulations. Richardson diffusion does not is not present in the 2D. There's a comment.
Okay.
No, no, no. I'm just. But if you have the turbulence, there will be definitely some diffusion.
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much.
So I assume you think if there was pre-existing turbulence added in all of these, the picture would be totally different. So just say, I mean, clearly there's a lot of overlap between here and the previous talk, and where the previous speaker was talking about, Aaron was talking about mass ratios and in-plane, out-of-plane magnetic field differences. Have you explored these in detail?
Okay. In case of mass ratio issue, we originally focused on the electron firewalls instability. In case of oblique electron firewalls, mass ratio dependency is very small. But in case of parallel electron firewalls, there should be have mass ratio dependence, but the cross rate of a parallel electron firewalls is very small than oblique firewalls. So in our shock simulation, oblique firewalls mode is dominant, and they are not depending on the mass ratio. And in case of magnetic field issue, we try to perform additional simulation with different plasma beta, and in the range of parameter in intra-cluster medium, they are weakly depending on the plasma beta. I mean, beta is 20 and beta equal 100 give essentially the same result.
So there's an alternative actually to explain these radio relics and galaxy clusters, and this is the Fermi 1 reacceleration of pre-existing fossil electrons, which perhaps may be injected by some strong shock in the past. Have you looked at this, whether PIC simulations would come up with a similar picture as sort of typical analytic calculations would actually predict?
In case of that issue, we will focus on our future work. We did not investigate yet.
Okay, is there any further questions then for the speaker? Okay, so we can thank all the speakers again from this morning's session, and